I have, for those who are not who are new here, I have a schus a couple of times a week of trying to add some entertainment value to the learning and maybe even some experience value in terms of psak halacha and some of the major shadows that come up. So try to expound on the ideas here. Now, some of you were not here for Elzman, so may not have done Pei Zayin. And some of the what we're going to do today is going to touch on Pei Zayin, but it's also going to touch on Sadi Tess. So I would say that we'll touch on 2 points in Pei Zayin and 2 points in Sadi Tess primarily. Sadi Tess is morning Seder, afternoon Seder.
Afternoon.
Keep forgetting. We're doing Taru was afternoon Seder, but it was morning Seder. Okay, so there's no Pei Ches today, unless I really stretch it. I guess you could stretch a lot. But try to get in some of the, at least Pei Zayin and Yonim, Sadi Tess and Yonim, talk about the major halachic controversy surrounding gelatin. And gelatin is still, till today, an issue both in America and in Eretz Yisrael. It's more prominent and prevalent in Eretz Yisrael in terms of, you know, what are you looking for? If you've traveled Eretz Yisrael in your life, so you know that Eretz Yisrael is it's a trap, if you will, in terms of kashrus. It's impossible. I spoke to a prominent person in kashrus in North America. I made a chasen Eretz Yisrael last year, for those who do not know. I made a chasen Eretz Yisrael last year. I spent hours and hours and hours and hours on the phone with the mashgichim there, with the Rav HaMachshir, with people in kashrus and Eretz Yisrael and here, trying to figure out all the pieces to the puzzle, all everything. You know, just going bedatz is not the answer, believe it or not. Believe it or not. A lot of simchos that are under high-level hashgachos there, there's not a Jew in the kitchen. So, you know, hiring private mashgichim. Also, you know, I'm not one to try to cast dispersions. We will see Lazel Gittin HaRishonim cast dispersions on the hashgachos. So, you know, what's good, what's not. I spoke to an individual who is very prominent in North American hashgacha. I won't tell you his name or where he works or lives, but he told me when he travels to Eretz Yisrael, he brings his own food. Says, Hashgacha is so confusing there and so just so difficult and so hard to work it out. He says he brings his own food.
What did you end up using?
What did I end up using?
In Israel.
It's a number of different hashgachos and a number. It was under Mateh Binyamin, Mahadran, overall, but you know, each individual piece so under that Mateh Binyamin Mahadran had to be then investigated and where they get the chicken from and where they get the beef from and where they get the fish from and you know, and the vegetables and the, so if you want to know, the vegetables were Bedatz Yerushalayim. And the meat was from what's it called? Kiryat Shmona. Very, very good hashgacha there. And the chicken, I'm sorry, and the meat was Machpud. And even though Machpud now, there's some people who are trying to say Machpud is no good because the children are involved, but it's good. And I can, you know, go through the list of all the everything. But the point I'm bringing out is, so most people, when they go to Eretz Yisrael, I laugh. I have a brother-in-law in Eretz Yisrael. See, he's very mock, but only Bedatz and Rav Reuben. Mock Bedatz and Rav Reuben. He has no idea why. Meaning, his family eats Chol Stam. They'll eat Chol Stam from Chutz Lars. They won't buy a product in Eretz Yisrael that's powdered Chol Stam from Chutz Lars because it doesn't have a Rav Reuben Ashkacha. Even though it's only a powdered milk from America, right, so afkat chalav mechil, afkat chalav mechul, right, which is you know the rabbanut allows. P.S. comes from Rabbi Pesach Frank, who was the rosh of the bedatz. For the bedatz, went a little bit more right wing, but you know that's politics for you. But no one knows why they're mapping. You know, what are you looking for? What are the chashoshos? What are the concerns in the hashgacha? Some of the chashoshos are real. Some of them are imagined. Rav in Eretz Yisrael told me 20 years ago, one of the Rav in the Rabbanim in the Yeshuvim what is called the Shomron. So he told me that you have to recognize that there are millions of shekels at stake that would give people incentives to discredit other hashgachos. Right? It's worth millions and millions of shekels. So your incentive is to try to discredit as much as you can and undermine the credibility of other hashgachos because it gets you business. So, you know, you got to look at that lens. But there are some real concerns in Hashgacha in America and in Eretz Yisrael, both. You know, America, we kind of have standards that we think we rely on, but we also know what, you know, what's going on there. One of the big concerns in Eretz Yisrael is gelatin. In all of the candies and the cake, and not the cupcakes, but the candies and the yogurts and the ice creams and those sorts of things, gelatin can be a real problem. And by the Rabbanut, regular Hashgacha, they'll allow for gelatin that comes from non-kosher animal sources. And by the Sfaradim, some of their Hashgachos also will allow for gelatin from non-kosher animal sources. And the Shaila becomes, what is the halach in America? We don't rely on it, right? America, the majority of, or I shouldn't say the majority, all of the nationally known, broadly accepted hashgachos don't use gelatin from non-kosher sources. There is a famed single hashgacha in America that does. If you go to his website, so he has on his website all of the links to all of the tshuvos from all of the different poskim over the generations about gelatin. Some of them are on point, some of them are not. Come on, point something or not. I can't say that this particular individual gives these hashgachos is wrong in his psak halacha in gelatin. He's wrong in his trying to fight against the mainstream and what is broadly accepted. And because of it, you know, once a person establishes a reputation in hashgacha as not following mainstream standards, that hashgacha becomes unreliable across the board, because we don't know necessarily how to parse every standard, and we go by certain mainstream standards, right? Okay, good. So now you got your hashgacha background. So the shaila becomes, what is the issue with regard to gelatin? So what is gelatin, first of all? And second of all, once you know what it is, so how do you parse it in hashgacha, in halacha rather? So there are really two distinct methods for getting gelatin. Gelatin is really a collagen that's derived from the bone or the skin of an animal.
What's a collagen?
Okay, I was hoping someone would ask. So your skin is very elastic in nature, right? You pull it pulls back. As you get older, you'll find that it starts to not become as elastic in nature. Right? Older people, the skin sags, it doesn't bounce back. That is due to a thing called collagen in the skin.
Elastin.
Pardon?
Elastin, the collagen gives it the structure, no?
Right, collagen structure, elastin, right? These two together give the structure and the elasticity to the skin. And they're also, they give it the texture, if you will. So skin's got it's not fatty, but it's a fatty type of a texture. If you can distill it and derive it from the skin and the bones of whatever living thing, so that's also highly hydrophilic, which means it absorbs water in great amounts, but 10 times its own weight and volume in water, and it creates a gel-like structure when it absorbs the water. Now, when you distill the gelatin from the skin or the bones, what you do is you dry it out, you powder it, and then the powder is mixed with the water. The powder is flavorless, it's mixed with the water, and it gives it that structure. So the most famous application of gelatin is Jell-O. Jell-O is three ingredients: gelatin, sugar, food coloring. That's all. And it's, you know, it was very popular. So the gelatin also becomes an easy way to create a thickening of a texture, or a texture, a substance, without adding fat to various food items. So it's used in yogurts a lot. Danon uses gelatin in their yogurts. If you go to the grocery store, not the kosher grocery stores, but you go to, you guys are aware that some places have other kinds of grocery stores. So if you go to the national grocery stores and you pick up a Danon yogurt off the shelf, you'll see a K on the Danon yogurt. So K means that somebody somewhere said this is kosher, right? But it will not get a hashgacha from any of the major North American kashrus organizations. Why not? Because they use gelatin as a thickener and a texturizing agent in the yogurt. They'll use it in ice creams. You know, gelato, kishmo kein hu, real gelatos have gelatin in them, and it gives it that nice texture and that thickness of it. So the shaila, of course, is how do you parse it in halacha? Now, there are three possible, I would say, well, really four possible sources for gelatin, because it has to come from a living animal, It could theoretically be constructed in a lab, but it would be incredibly expensive. So it comes from living things, and it's derived either from the bones or the skin. Could be derived from non-kosher animals. The majority of gelatin on the market is derived from non-kosher animals. Actually, we'll see it shortly. The majority of the gelatin on the market is derived from pig skins. So that makes it a different cheshbon. It could be derived from the bones or skins of kosher animals. And it could be derived, which is done today, from the bones or skins of fish. And in fact, there is a single company that I think it's called Colatin, that derives the gelatin from kosher fish. And they're the company behind the various products on the market, like marshmallows. Marshmallows are purely gelatin-based, and you can get kosher marshmallows today. When I was growing up, you couldn't get kosher marshmallows. Nothing existed, except for once a year, Erev Pesach, you would find that they'd have kosher Pesach marshmallows on the shelves of the store under the hashgacha of this particular person that I mentioned before, that it wasn't kosher, but it was kosher Pesach. No chametz in there, but it just happened to not be kosher, at least according to our standards. So the
name of this person?
Pardon?
You know he had a name?
Rabbi I. Sheinkov was his name. His son now took over the hashgacha. You know, it's one of the things I always tell people, and I guess I should tell it to you as well. He would always display his smicha along with his hashgacha. So anytime you find a hashgacha where the person displays his smicha with hashgacha, it's a big red flag. It's a huge red flag. You know, he thinks he protested too much. If the person feels the need to display smicha with hashgacha, it's a big red flag on terms of hashgacha. So, you know, it's still out there, this hashgacha, and it still exists, and the son has taken over the father's hashgacha. But again,
there's one called Cup K now in the American Dream, called Cup K.
Is it American Dream?
Yeah, and it says on the sign, smicha from Torah Vadas.
Yeah, so again, Cup K
is
his
kid or not?
Well, I don't know. Cup K is one of those hashgachos that's not reliable. It's actually the hashgacha now on the 7-Eleven hot dogs here.
Cup K.
So Cup K actually uses Hebrew National hot dogs. But I don't know if they use Hebrew National for the... I'm not saying Hebrew National is not kosher. But I'm saying Hebrew National doesn't make the standard that we would use in our communities, right? In other words, nobody in our community would use Hebrew National in their kitchen, right? Whatever the reasons are, whatever the standards are, Hebrew National is under this Triangle K. The Triangle K actually has improved immensely over the years with the Rabbi Rabag's son taking over, but it's not broadly accepted. The Cup K, if you Google it actually, the Cup K is listed online as standards conservative. Listed as a conservative standards hashgacha. So, you know, the fact that there is a store in Muncie selling hot dogs to seemingly from clientele that is, according to Google at least, conservative standards, is mind-blowing. But I diverge, right? But again, if you see a hashgacha and the person on the hashgacha advertises his smicha, and especially advertises smicha from, you know, Torah Vadas or Nei Yisroel or someplace like that, on the hashgacha, you just know that Torah Vadas and Nei Yisroel sometimes make mistakes too, right? It happens. It happens, okay? Not everybody's gonna be perfect, it happens, but it's a very bad sign on the hashgacha. Okay, so the poskim that discuss this all point to the same starting point, which is Siman Pei Zayin. So for those who have not done Pei Zayin, I'll give you the chapter and verse that they point to, which is the Ramah, right? The Ramah, Siman Pei Zayin Sif Yud, or Akeva. The skin of the stomach of the abomasum of the animal, lifamim mochanoso miyavshinoso, it's sometimes they salt it and dry it, v'nasa ke'etz, and it becomes like wood, umimalim oso chalav, and you fill it with milk, mutter, that's mutter, d'me'achar shenis yavesh have ke'etz ba'am of ein bo lachluch is basar, since it's dried out, so it's ke'etz ba'am, it's like a piece of wood, and there's no lachluch is basar. That's the Rambam. So in other words, They take the stomach of the animal, dry it out, and then they fill it with milk. That's mutter, even though milk is sitting there for 24 hours. But once it's dried out, ke'etz, so l'chora, what the Rama means is that it's no longer a Meichel, and Ein Bolach Luch is Basar, and therefore it's fine. That's the Beis Yosef in the name of Shmuel Eleket. This din by the Or HaKeva dried out like wood. Okay? So, the Nod Behuda in Simon Chav Vav in Yeridea has a very, very famous tshuva. The tshuva is essential in Kashrus for many, many reasons. And we're going to come back to this tshuva a couple of times, because it's also very nogay in terms of Bitulis L'chatchili here in Sadi Tess. But the Nod Behuda's tshuva was about the following shayla. It was about Aldvar HaKruk, V'yesh Koronus HaHoizen B'Loizen. What a great name. Heisen B'Loizen, whatever advertising firm came up with that. Okay, what is it? Who shall fuches shall dag echad anikra hoizen, who dag tame. It's the swim bladder of a particular fish. It's a non-kosher fish. Umiyav shina shall fuches v'nosinu solusoch hamashke shikor b'pol in mead. They dry it out and they put it into mead. O mei dvash. Honey water, which is honey mead. V'tivo lashki hashmar. It's a clarifier. What it does is it sinks the sediment down, ulahatzlil hamashke, and to clarify, literally, the drink. So clarifying agents are known. Now we know that glycerin is a clarifying agent, that that's the, probably the glycerin that they derived from the animal's bladder. They know what it was. In other words, in those days, they could figure out that this worked for that. What exactly about it worked? Who knew? But it worked. So dry out the fish bladder, the swim bladder, and put it into your mead, and it tends to cause the sediment to coagulate and drop to the bottom and gives you a clear, clean-looking mead. That's them's the facts. Glycerin from non-kosher animal sources was the subject of much consternation in Kashrus as well for many, many years. One day we'll get to the Coca-Cola controversy, but Coca-Cola was deemed kosher until Rabbi Tuvia Geffen of Atlanta, Georgia, who was a musmach of Slobodka, but didn't advertise it on his Ashgacha. And he said, he was asked about Coca-Cola, and he went to investigate, and he found out that they were using non-kosher glycerin in the processing of the Coca-Cola. But they put it in wine barrels in Germany. And now, he says, last 20 years, they started in Poland to do the same thing, to put it in the mead. And so, what's the kosher's implications of this? It's over gdoli hador, alzeh, sheish lesser, right? Because it sits in the mashka. Basically, I'm taking the non-kosher fish, the bladder, the swim bladder of the non-kosher fish, the davar tame. I am drying it out. I'm putting it into the wine or the mead. Now it sits there 24 hours, kovash kimavushal, and therefore the whole thing should be osur, right? So you'll tell me no, it's batel. V'imishum shebatel b'shishim. So number one, ein avat nisl chatchila, right? So olive base of bittel here at Sadi Tess. I don't know how far in we've gotten so far. But ein mevat l'isser l'chatchil, even if you haven't gotten into Sadi Tess, you know that, right? You can't be mevat l'isser l'chatchil. Good. Okay. So he says, v'yei shirotu l'hat imitam shikvan is yavesh v'keitz. Some said, what do you mean? Ramal pei zayin, right? Why is the swim bladder of the fish any worse than the or kevas behema, right? That you take it, you dry it out, and you put milk in it, it's fine. Sheimbo tam klal umedamnas lo akeva, right? So, and some say, okay, which is a different cheshbon, which we're going to come back to, that it's not a problem that even batnas dochatrila because your kavanah is not to be vata. The kavanah is to be matzlil. So we will go into this at length, Mirtz Hashem, inside Ites, about what happens if an ein mevatnis dochatrila din if your kavanah is not for bittel. Right, this shaila comes up all the time. I just got the shiloh the other day. You know, people are, everybody's making smoothies. Everybody and his brother-in-law is making smoothies. And, you know, you want to buy various berries for your smoothies. And oftentimes the berries are not necessarily grown under greenhouse conditions, might contain bugs in the berries, but you're going to blend them. So you're going to blend them, then the barrier gets broken up, and then it could be bottle. But that's a bitul iser, right? Bitulis the chatchila, right? Or is it mitzvah chilul or not? Because you don't intend to be batalis. You want to make a smoothie. Happens to be that in the course of making the smoothie, if there's an istir, it'll become nisbata. So we'll get into that. So Noda Behuda says that, first of all, if you're going to take, give me that Ramah, that if nisyavesh, and you want to be matir it, so first of all, the Shachet Sifkot Lama Gimel says, l'chatchil and lasos kein. That's not l'chatchil. In other words, the Ramah is saying that there are those who take the ore of the keva, and they dry it out and they put the milk into it. So it's mutter because mamais it's dry. But you can't l'chatchila do so because you may not dry it out properly. Right? That's an easy, you know, clear cut. You might get it wrong. Number two, said the Noda Behuda, I think that even b'dieved, it's no good. I think this dimyun is no good. Why? Says Noda Behuda, this famous yesod, that the Ramah is talking about, and the Shibar Alek, the Ramah is based on, is talking about the or kevos kshera, talking about the stomach of a kosher animal shechted properly. It's a dover head there. It becomes nisyavesh ke'etz, it becomes dried out like wood before it's ever mixed with the milk. So there's no meat there. So the only time the iser would come is when it's mixed with the milk. At the time it's mixed with the milk, it's not meat. And therefore, there's no iser basar b'chalav. That's fine. Masha'in kein hacha, here he says, I have the shalfuchis of a dag tame. I have this swim bladder of a non-kosher fish. It's a davar tame, it's a davar aser. So the fact that I dry it out, but it basically, iser shavuchis le'echan hach, where'd the iser go? And it remains b'isuro, even when it's put in. Now, the Noda goes really more into detail on that. And that's going to be an important point because you have to be done in this particular case. What is the metzias? Meaning, the Noda Behuda points out that there's a machlokes in Reb Meir and Reb Shimon in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah as to how not ro'uy la'achila does something have to become to lose its shame machol, lose its shame iser of a machol asasurus. How not ro'uy? Is it enough to be not ro'uy la'adam? Or does it even have to be not ro'uy la'kelev, right? So he brings down here that Einu nifgmeru rak, allegation is yavesh, achi is yavesh lo yeroy l'kelev, right? It has to be not ro'uy la'kelev. And avail atzma, mechalik Reb Meir, pein tzruchem ekar, ben nizruch achash niznabu, avodah zorah daf samachas ma'af. Reb Meir and Reb Shimon are cholik on this din gufa. In avodah zorah daf samachas, whether or not the standard for nisrach is that it has to be nisrach to the point of not real achilas adam, or not real achilas kelev. So says the Noda Behuda, the truth is that machlokas is never resolved. We don't have a klal and psak halacha, Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, halacha like whom? Not resolved in halacha, and therefore remains a safek. So it's a safek iser that this particular shalfus. Now, the Noda Behuda assumes here, at least for argument's sake at this point in time, that the drying out of the shalfuches takes it to the point of not royal chilas adam, but still royal achilas kelev. Right? Still royal achilas kelev. And this Noda Behuda is pointed to by many of the poskim with regard to the gelatin. However, Reb Chaim Ozer in the Achi Ezer in Chelek Gimel, Reb Chaim Ozer takes the position that no, he says it's in Siman Lamed Gimel in Chelek Gimel in the Achi Ezer. B'dar Shelis Hadras Gonim Be'efshar LaHachshir Min Avak Chadash Asher Motzu Me'atzmo Yaveshir Me'Avim Musul Ba'Harvei Min Amachol Ka Minin Al Yadam Minim Shorim. This new powder that they get from the bones of animals, and they're mimed through it Minim Shonim. So he goes through, as the questioner went through, the process. They take dry bones, they soak them in acid salts. After they soak the bones in acid salts, so they soak the bones in water with some sort of chemical, and then they put them in phosphor, and then they dry them out, and they clean them, right? They cook them, rather. They clean them, they dry them out, and they dry out for about 48 hours. So they take these bones, they chemically treat them, they dry them out thoroughly, and he says, and then they grind them up into like a sugar-like powder, etc. So again, you take bones of an animal, you dry out the bones completely, you treat them with acid salt and phosphor, and you cook them, you boil them, you dry them, grind them up, and now you have magic. You've got your gelatin, right? Or your gelatin powder. So the questioner said, this is mutter. Based on what? Aramo, Yeridea Pezayin, he called Simon Tess, right? It's Pezayin, so it's if Yud, not Sif Tess, Barakeva. The fall of Mokum, the Achiezer quoted from memory. From probably, years before, while I was probably writing a different shuva at the same time. So if he's one sif off, we'll cut him some slack. You know, Reb Chaim Ozer used to write two shuvas at the same time with two hands. So, yeah. I'll cut him some slack there. I happen to have seen it 10 minutes ago, so. Right? But, see, this Rambam, and, right, the Shach writes, with the Mishab and the Miayim. And harbei achronim atirim gam b'basar iser v'dam v'talom nisyav shakeitz. So many achronim, not like the Yehuda, are matir it if it's dam, even dam or other isurim, as long as it's dried keitz. V'kol shekein atzomos shein aleihem iser lav b'nevel v'treifa. Atzomos don't have an iser lav b'nevel v'treifa, like the Rama writes in Perek Dal Machos Asuros, right, etc. He says, "Ulechor ba'atzomos yiveshus ein shum chash dry bones. What's the problem? Da'atzomos iser mitstarfima ahet levatel iser. Pei tes, a tzadi tes rather siv aleph. Atzomos ha iser are mitstarfima ahet levatel. Even the Ramah is machmir lechatchilo, but the Ramah himself says, but the Iker is like those opinions that the atzomos are of iser even are mitstarf to mevatel." And va'afilu ba'atzomos harachin, with the shach is machmir, which I assume you've seen that already. So the poskim write that if you take the basar off and you dry them out, so then they're like other kli atzim and kli matchos, they are fine. He says, im kein posho de'atzomos shenis yavshu ein behem chash iser klal. What's the iser? Right? And so Chaim Ozer goes on, he says, I'll tell you, maybe you're chayish for the following. Maybe you'll say, but the atzamos had lachluchas or had basar on the atzamos, and the atzamos then, by the lachluchas of the basar of the atzamos, absorbed when you cooked them that tam, and then the atzamos are no worse than any kli etzem, which requires hagala. So where's the hagala on it, right? In other words, basically, the bones are not, they're not a meichel. The bones are like, if I took a plate, right? I took a bowl, and I ground up the bowl, and then I said, ooh, when I take this ground up bowl and I put it in my yogurt, it really gives it a nice texture. Rabbi, what's the halacha? So the halacha is that you're a shota, but it's mutter, right? It's mutter. Why not? Where's the iser? So basically, says Reb Chaim Ozer, your bone of your animal is a kli etzem. It's not a halachic piece of meat, it's a kli etzem. Okay, but fine, but if it absorbs, it requires hagala. So he says, okay, but it's more than 24 hours old. No say Tam Lufgam. Okay. But we're machmir on Einu Ben Yomo, Otu Ben Yomo, L'chatchila, you can't do it. He says, but mistaver, that once it's dried out with the phosphorus and everything else and all the chemicals and all that's done with it, then it's nifsa legamri. That's a different, that's not just no stain lufgam. That's nifsa legamri, it's taken out entirely, it's not totally gone, it's totally nifsa. And therefore Reb Chaim Ozer says it's fine. Reb Chaim Ozer paskins la locha, that gelatin is fine. Everybody points to this Reb Chaim Ozer, bein the matirim, bein the machmirim. This Reb Chaim Ozer was the posek ador, right? People lose sight of that today because we had Reb Moshe in the middle, but in those days, Reb Chaim Ozer was the single posek ador, at least for the entire Chutz Laretz. Eretz Yisrael, Reb Kook was the posek, but in Chutz Laretz, Reb Chaim Ozer was the final word on psak halacha. So he said it's mutter.
Assuming it was treated.
Pardon?
Assuming it was treated.
Well, it's for sure treated. That's the process, right? The process is phosphorin, treating and drying it out, and then 48 hours, let it dry out, and then you grind it up, and you get it. He paskined that it was mutter.
Does that work nowadays, though, if it's done faster? If you don't necessarily do the process in the same speed,
do it faster. So that's a good question, right? The question is going to become, obviously, across the board, how do we compare modern-day structures to what Reb Chaim Ozer is talking about? Does Reb Chaim Ozer give the same psak halacha today,
also,
or would he not?
Also, we're dealing now with pig skins. It's not
a tzomos. Right, so good. Good. So today, the matzias has changed greatly, and we're dealing often with skins and not with other things. Reb Chaim Ozer, though, is matir it. And many of the rabbonim in America in the early part of the 20th century, based on Reb Chaim Ozer, said mutter, mutter, mutter. And I brought in for you two, I just wanted to show it to you. This is junket rennet powder, pure animal-based powder from non-kosher animals. This is an advertisement in Yiddish for it, as is this. These advertisements were published in a journal called Hapardes. So Hapardes was the premier rabbinic journal of the Agudas HaRabbanim in North America. I think it last published in 2002. But it published first in Poland by Rav Aaron Levi Pardes, and Rav Simcha Elbogen took over it in America afterwards. But it was the premier rabbinic journal. And the Hashkacha was Rabbi Pardes on the... There was also a kogel, a kosher gelatin, and Jell-O marketed itself to the kosher market regularly in the 1930s, 40s, etc. It was 1951 that Reb Lazer Silver, who was then the head of the Agudas HaRabbanim, wrote a tshuva and said, no good. No good. But it was a standard, it was accepted. It was accepted based on Reb Chaim Ozer. And the shaila becomes, did the Metzias change? Did the Pesach Halacha change? What changed? I'm out of time, so I'm going to pause with that. I apologize for this taking longer than I thought it would take. Believe me, I'll try to wrap this up on Thursday and move on in, I guess, either Pechas is not much to talk about, unless someone has something they want to ask about in Pechas specifically. Maybe move on inside the test with this. If you have, you know, specific things you want to clarify, I'll get you some Heusenblazen. We can clarify it. But aside from that, Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to wrap this up on Thursday, okay? I do apologize for the length of it. Yerudea Aleph Simchah, very long tshuva,
very important one.